Good morning and welcome to this, the newspaper review show for Tuesday, January 7th, 2020. The worst live stream in YouTube history with the worst graphics. God almighty. 1960s graphics we have here on the live stream. Yeah, I hope you're in good form. Yes, if you're just emerging from Christmas, if you're emerging from Christmas and New Year, or New Year's. I've been back since Sunday. So I've been on air since Sunday. And had an interesting radio show last night. Paul Craig Roberts was on talking about Iran. And Jason Burmes was on talking about Epstein and Iran. All on YouTube, all on Podomatic, all on iTunes, Spotify. If you missed it, I've been back since Sunday. So you might be just emerging now. Shaking off the cobwebs. So, yes. And it's good to be back. I want to just say, before I go any further today, Jean-Anne Crowley, my friend, my great friend, it must be said, mentioned to me last night that Marion Finucane, a very, very good, an excellent broadcaster who has worked for RTE for many years and was brilliant in... particularly in hosting phone-in radio programmes where members of the public, ordinary folk like me and you, would ring in and talk about the big issues of the day. She was an old-school presenter, very, very, very competent. And she passed away. I like to think I would have picked up one or two things from listening to Marion over the years. And this morning, I didn't have time to grab a couple of pictures, just so you'll know who I'm talking about, because you might be in the US, you might be in Hong Kong, I don't know where you are. But RTE, that's Radio Telefíochán, the Irish national broadcaster, also announced this morning that Larry Gogan passed away overnight. And he, again, another very old school, very good broadcaster. You know, the sort of men and women, Finucane and Gogan, who did it properly, were brought up to do it properly, trained to do it properly, and had a lot of respect for the medium. Larry would be well known, of course, for presenting the Golden Hour on Radio 2 FM and the Just a Minute quiz, and he's passed away as well. So two people that I would have listened to growing up and would have heard on a daily basis, Irish broadcasters of great aplomb, of great achievement, have passed away in the last couple of days. I just kind of wanted to mention that my Irish viewers, and certainly my Irish radio listeners, will know about Marion Finucane and Larry Gogan. So there you are. Right, so, yeah, good morning to those of you on the live chat. I will come to the live chat in a few minutes' time and read a few comments there. Do feel free to comment on anything. We'll just go to the front pages now, I suppose. What sort of weather are we having today? It's a bit changeable. Very high winds and severe rainfall are going to hit parts of the UK today. I think, fingers crossed, Salford and Greater Manchester as a whole, we might miss out on the worst of it. I hope so anyway. I don't like anything to get in the way of my running, you see. And it's not just a selfish thing with me. Inclement weather obviously takes its toll on the least of us, or the least fortunate of us, people who are sleeping rough at this time of year. And I'm always reminded of people sleeping rough at this time of year because the oft-mentioned, but she doesn't get enough credit for it because she doesn't want any, the oft-mentioned Caroline, or the future Mrs. Allen, is a regular visitor to the city centre to meet with people who are sleeping rough, and it's rotten for them at this time of the year when it's wet and when it's cold. So spare a thought for them, I suppose. Okay, let's have a look at the front pages of the papers then. Like yesterday, today we'll start with the Daily Mirror. This is some story, and of course it's a Manchester story. A lot of coverage given in the press today to this story because yesterday this guy was sentenced to a minimum of 30 years in jail. They're calling him Britain's worst ever rapist. His name is Reynard Sanaga, I believe. He's been jailed for life for 136 rapes. He was found guilty of luring men from outside Manchester nightclubs, men that were young but very, very seriously inebriated, in a bad way, disorientated. And he would take them back to his flat then on the pretense of getting them a phone where they could call a taxi and be safe, or giving them a cup of coffee to help them sober up. And what he would do is he would give them a date rape drug, and then he would assault them and film it. And he was caught because during one of these rapes or assaults, he was sexually assaulting a rugby player who came around and apparently beat this guy so badly that his brain bled. And after beating this guy nearly to death, the rugby player went straight to the police. The police came back and took the guy's phone and his computer and saw that he'd been doing this for a long time. This guy, this PhD, who came from a Christian family. It's disgusting, really. And, well, he's in jail now, and it's unlikely he'll ever see the light of day. Britain's worst ever rapist, that's the Mirror today. The Metro. Same again, 195 victims of the world's worst rapist. That's in the Metro today. And the Metro, and not only the Metro, but many of the newspapers today have got photographs of Ricky Gervais. The reason being, the papers had gone to bed on Sunday evening when Gervais took to the stage in Los Angeles. They'd already gone to bed, the papers. They had didn't have any time to report on Gervais, Ricky's monologue, where he took aim at the Hollywood liberal elite on a number of occasions during that speech. And he also mentioned, of course, Britain's Prince Andrew. Yes. Mixed bag of opinion in the papers today. Some of them criticising Gervais, others applauding him. That's the Metro. Let's have a look at the Mail. How many more did he rape? Again, like I said, this is everywhere today. Reynard Sanaga, this guy who, whose family comes from the Far East. Jesus Christ. Yeah, horrendous. How sick do you have to fucking be? Of course, that's the age-old question, isn't it? How do people get to be like that? Are they sick? Is it an illness or a disease? Or is that a cop-out? Are they just fucking evil? Because you've got to know it's wrong, right? Right, you've got the sexual urge to drug people and to rape them. That's your sick, perverse, horrible fucking urge, right? But you know it's wrong. You know it's wrong, right? But he did it anyway. There is a lesson in there, though, for young men and for young women. There is a lesson in there. Okay? And don't freak out here. I've said this before. Don't get so fucking drunk when you're out and about in city centres that you are paralysed and completely incapable of taking over, looking after yourself. Oh, you're a hypocrite, Richie. No, I never was like that. Never. I was never in such a bad condition that I wasn't in control of my movement, that I wasn't mentally aware and aware of where I was and where I needed to go. I've never been that fucking bad. This isn't a case of you deserve it. Nobody deserves it. No chance does anybody deserve it. But don't get so blindingly fucking drunk that you don't know where you are. Because then you put yourself in a position where somebody can do something to you. I'd like to think if we ever had a daughter, you know, that she'd be educated not to be in that fucking situation. In town, in clubs, around young men who would do unspeakable things given the opportunity. Anyway, that was the Mail. What about the Guardian? Same again. May have preyed on almost 200 young men. And this makes me laugh. It's on the front page of The Guardian today. US forced to deny plan to quit Iraq. This is incompetence, maybe, on a previously unheard of scale. Well, maybe not. Maybe I exaggerate there. But it concerns a letter written by the general in command of US forces in Iraq to the Iraqi government, saying, fair enough, you're sovereign, you voted in Parliament to tell us to clear out, so we'll clear out. Here's the letter. And then the Pentagon and the State Department says, no, that's not true, we don't want to leave. The letter went out in error. The United States has no intentions of withdrawing its troops from Iraq. The sovereignty of the Iraqi nation doesn't mean a damn thing. The US is going nowhere. It's not part of the plan, you see. I don't know if you can read that, but there's the letter. I'll leave it on screen for a couple of seconds there. Eh? Jean Anna's on. Jean Anna, I just gave you a mention. You must be late to the party this morning. I mentioned Larry Gogan and Marion Finucan, two excellent broadcasters whom I like to think I learned a little bit from in terms of how they dealt with fielding calls from members of the public. Brilliant broadcasters, old school. I did read about Marion Finucan after you'd sent me a message last night, and I saw the story in the Irish Times this morning about Larry Gogan. So a sad loss to broadcasting, yeah. Yeah, a sad loss to broadcasting and to their families. Good people, old school broadcasters. It would be nice if you could delve into the archives and listen to people like Jerry Ryan and Marion Finucan and Larry Gogan and listen to how they dealt with, in terms of Jerry Ryan and Marion Finucan, how they dealt with issues of domestic politics, international politics, human interest issues, the time they afforded to those phoning in, the time they afforded to their guests, the proper line of questioning that they would adopt, really listening to the interviewee. These were great broadcasters because the programmes were never about showcasing them as the star. It's like something Ike used to say to me many years ago, David Ike. I don't say Ike to be disrespectful, by the way. David. It's something David used to say to me years ago. The information should be the star. You, as a presenter, are there to get some information from the interviewee, not to demonstrate your virtue and how important you are to proceedings. You're not important. I say this every time somebody sends me an email saying, oh, it's marvellous what you do, Richie. I don't do a damn fucking thing. Except expertly, here comes the virtue, create a platform that sounds really good where people who have done a bit of research can come and talk about what it is they have discovered. But it's not about me. And Marion Finucane and Larry Gogan and Jerry Ryan, these people were amazing presenters because it was never about them. Gay Byrne was the same back in the day on radio. Telefisher and back on the radio on the GB show was the same. It's about the guest and the info. And you should listen back to some of these people and listen and compare and contrast how they presented their radio programmes with the virtue signalling horrific radio programmes of today presented by people like James O'Brien on LBC, to name one, and many others. Emma Barnett on Radio 5. Dreadful people. It's all about them. And to be honest with you, this is an epidemic in the independent media as well. It is. There's a certain, no, I won't get it, of people like Marion and Larry and those, because they did it properly. They did it properly, in my opinion. Now, that was The Guardian, this rapist guy. What about The Telegraph then? American troops pulled out of Baghdad. Well, this is again the aforementioned letter. But the Americans are saying the letter was sent out in error. There's a photograph of a frail-looking Harvey Weinstein. Jury selection began in his trial. He faces life in prison if he's found guilty of the multitude of charges that have been brought against him. Rose McGowan and other actresses and other women who have accused Weinstein, they were present in New York yesterday. Weinstein has been accused of acting, shuffling around with a Zimmer frame, claiming ill health. His opponents claim that this is just a charade. It's Harvey Weinstein there. Hashtag me too and all of that. Malarkey. Not malarkey, it's important. Because no doubt it's gone on. UK caught between Trump and Europe is the headline in the I paper. Well, this basically alleges that Boris Johnson is juggling Emmanuel Macron on the one hand and Angela Merkel. And on the other hand, he's trying to appease Donald Trump. It's horse manure. All of these people speak with the same voice because they are all controlled by the same entity. There's no real difference between the, you know, Macron and Merkel, whatever they might say publicly. That's all an illusion to convince you that there's a debate going on about Iran. There is no debate whatsoever. The plans for Iran and for the region are the same as they were 10 years ago or 15 years ago. To wreck the region. To plunge it into eternal chaos. To displace millions of people. To kill millions more. To advance the Greater Israel Project. That's just one facet of it. So don't believe there's any dissension in the ranks there. But the eye paper would have you believe otherwise. Maybe I'm wrong. What do I know? The Financial Times: Soleimani's successor vows to expel US as security threats drive up oil. Yes, oil has gone up, as has gold. Predictably. I've got this old banger of a Renault Megane estate. It's a shaggin' wagon. It's a shaggin' wagon. Although, to be honest, I've had no sex in it. Future Mrs. Allen, no time for any of that stuff. No time for it. That's filth. We haven't christened the shaggin' wagon. But my diesel Renault Megane estate gets about 90,000 miles to the gallon. So I very rarely fill it up. In fact, I've not put diesel in it for about 4 weeks. And I did quite the bit of driving around the Christmas, don't you know? Or indoors every fucking 10 minutes. Can you drive me somewhere? Can you? Can you? I just drove you 10 minutes ago. Couldn't we have stopped off then? I forgot. All right, get in the fucking car then. Right? So I've driven it and driven it and driven it, and there's still a quarter of a tank even of diesel. So I'm expecting in a couple of weeks' time, when I go back to my local service station, that I'm going to get quite the fright. Because my diesel was 125 a litre before Christmas. I suppose it's gone up to 135 now, is it? I have no idea. Anyway. Keep those comments coming in there. I'll get to a few of them in a minute. I'm having to unhide quite the few today. Back to Larry Gogan. Jean Ann says to me, as the late Terry Wogan once said, sure, the Irish education fits you for nothing but broadcasting. We can all say. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of truth in that. Keith Allen is in Cyprus. How you doing, Keith? We'll come to that in a minute. Hi, Jason Hurley, William Gibson, Wayne Davis, Martin Ellen, Ghost Gaming, Alex Jackson. Hi, Pierre. Hi, Wayne. Hey, Bukar Abdullahi. Yes. Paul Batchelor, Bob Wimpany. Sooty's Rehab, Rebecca McCoo. Charlotte Binns is on there. Charlotte said people have died in a stampede at the funeral of Qasem Soleimani. Is that right, Charlotte? I do not have the news open in front of me here. I don't have any websites open in front of me. Hi to Norfolk. The 51 Project was in Brisbane. Max Egan will be on the Richie Allen radio show today after an absence. It's been 8 or 9 months since Max was on. And that's because of the time difference. But he will be on today. It'll be Wednesday morning for him. And he's going to get up very early to come on to talk about these fires. I've also got Spiro Skouras of Newsbud fame. And Activist Post. Spiro is going to be on with me today to talk about why the central banks of the world have taken such an interest in climate change. It's going to be very good today. I've got a good program for you today. Working round the clock for you, I am. Right. Let's go to the Times. RichieAllen.co.uk, by the way, for bank account details and for PayPal details to support the program. Thank you. MOD sends emergency evacuation team to Iraq. Yeah, and there's Rose McGowan. Hashtag me too. Harvey Weinstein. Jury selection. And the process of jury selection has gotten the UK broadcast media in a bit of a tizzy. They don't understand it. This is what I mean when I talk about old school broadcasters. Terry Wogan, who was man enough to admit that he handled his initial interview with David Icke very badly. Man enough to do it. And man enough to bring him back on and let David have his right of reply, even though it was quite a few years later. Terry Wogan, Marion Finucane, Jerry Ryan. Today's broadcasters are ignorant fuckers because they are celebrities. They're not broadcasters, they're not presenters. They are celebrities. They've all got Instagram pages and Twitter accounts with loads of followers and little blue ticks. They don't know anything. I was listening to BBC Radio 5 Live yesterday and a succession of presenters struggling to explain the jury selection process in the United States. That's because they've never read a fucking newspaper in their lives. Let alone read a John Grisham novel, because that's all you have to fucking do. It's very simple. A panel of 100 people is written to. They come to the court and the judge and the lawyer for the prosecution and the lawyer for the defence. Well, they get to question the panel and they've got things called peremptory strikes, where they get to say each side gets a determined number of strikes each. Like you might get 3, you might get 6. Where you ask some questions of a juror because you believe that he or she might be prejudiced. And if you think they are, you strike them. Eventually you get 12 people. Well, you start off with 12. Right, you've got 100, but you start off with 12. You might say, well, we accept juror 5, we accept juror 6, but we strike juror 4. On the grounds, blah, blah, blah. It's very fucking simple to understand it. But today's broadcasters at the BBC, ignorami. They don't know anything. Celebrities. I am some whinging bastard, me, aren't I? Aren't I? Jealous, aren't you, Richie? I'm not fucking jealous. I had all of that and I walked away from it. Jealous, my fucking hairy big body gammon arse. Here's the Daily Express. Massive spending spree in Brexit budget. We're going to get a budget. MPs are back today. They're back in Westminster. And the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Sajid Javid, and his ministers have been talking to the media this morning about the budget, which involves a lot of borrowing. Nothing to see here. Please disperse. Borrowing from who? Yeah. Fear not, I'm not going to get into that. Because when I say I bore myself, I jest not, I jest not. Joke of York in the Sun. The Sun has been flogging cheap holidays all week long. Somebody noticed that yesterday. I didn't notice it when I did the Sun yesterday. Anyway, cheap holidays. You get tokens in Butlins. You can watch the darts. In Butlin's Minehead, if you want. Light van man, this is in the Star. And this is a story about how white van men, whom have traditionally been seen as slightly rotund, out of shape men, whose trousers or jeans go right down the back of their arses, so you can see in full glory, in technicolor, their big hairy backsides. Well, apparently white van men are more likely these days to be ripped like the big baldy gammon. Ripped. Ripped. Absolutely ripped. According to the Star. Ah, sure, Jesus, you know. You love the Star, you know. It's all kicking off in the Middle East. Brexit is supposed to happen in 24 days' time. Ah, you've got all this going on. You've got a guy sentenced to life in prison for being the world's worst rapist. Got it all going on. And the Daily Star says, white van men. That's what the nation needs to know. White van men are not fat and hairy and, well, unkempt. Unkempt as they once were. Hi to William Henderson in Bonnie, Scotland. I know, all my accents still sound the same in 2020 as they did in 2019. I love it. To John Grammaticus. How are you doing, John? How are you doing? Dubification, says Mark Windows, explains how the bankers pulled the climate change scam. Yes, Mark Windows is a very good source of information. We like Mark. That is windowsontheworld.net. Like the boy. Good lad, Mark. I've known Mark since the old TPV days. Hi to Stella Geary. Happy New Year to you too, Stella. I missed you too, kid. It is nice to be back. It's nice to be back and alcohol-free. Alcohol-fry. Alcohol with a K. Fry. F-R-E-I. Yeah, verstanden? I am alcohol-free. And feel all the better for it. Did I fancy a drink last night after I came off air? Truthfully, no. No, I worried that I would. I worried that having not drunk for the last few days, that when I finished yesterday, after a pretty heavy day yesterday, that I would not be able to resist walking down my little garden path, exiting out of the gate, taking a left, and going to the local off-license, which conveniently is about 150 metres away. But I didn't feel like that. Never entered my head. I sat down, and the future Mrs. Allen and I watched some more American television drama. That's what we did. Okay. Yes, Paddy Dunn, how you doing, Paddy? Paddy's off to Carrick on shore to see the family. Do I want any Tato crisps brought back? I don't, Paddy. I don't, because I can't just eat one bag of Tato crisps. This is the problem. Most people can just have a bag of crisps and then walk away. I can't. I'd not only eat the 10-pack that you'd bring back, but then I'd be off to my local Tesco, which stocks Irish Tato crisps, and then you would see me just go like that. Tato crisps. The devil's crisps. Right, let's have a look inside the papers then. This is interesting. This is interesting. It's in the Times. I don't believe it. I've done it again, have I? Ah, it's on the windowsill. Hang on, hang on. Talk amongst yourselves. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Christ. Oh, I'm stiff. Oh. Here you are. It's just I can't read that print, you see. We've been told that there's an epidemic of racism returning to English football. That's soccer to you Americans. And there was an alleged incident between... an incident allegedly took place when Spurs played Chelsea last month in the Premier League. This guy, his name is Antonio Rudiger. He said he suffered racial abuse. He claimed that he heard monkey noises coming from a section of the home fans because Chelsea were away to Spurs. But the police have ended their investigation into it, saying that they have reviewed, they have investigated, they have looked at CCTV, they have used lip-reading experts, they have spent a fucking fortune, and they found no evidence that anybody made monkey chants at Antonio Rudiger. Now, was Antonio Rudiger telling lies? I wouldn't imagine he was. I would imagine he's a very impressionable young man. You see, if you tell somebody enough times that they are vulnerable and they are weak and they are under threat and that racism is coming back on steroids, they will believe it and will start to imagine that they are being racially abused, even when they are not. There is no epidemic of racist or homophobic abuse at UK soccer grounds. I attend UK soccer matches. You don't see it. Because if somebody did start it, if some dickhead started shouting monkey chants, he'd be slapped down by any number of people in his immediate vicinity. I have seen it. I haven't seen it now with monkey chants. I haven't seen it with monkey chants, I must be honest. But I have been present at football grounds in recent years when somebody has shouted out, fuck off you bent dickhead, or you gay, or you fucking homo. I've been present And the guy has been immediately told to shut the fuck up by the people around him. That's how it works. There is no epidemic of racism. This is very interesting. Chelsea are saying they stand by their player. Yes. I don't imagine he's making it up. I just imagine the culture of fear, the climate that has been engineered. Right? Racism, you've got to be careful. Everybody's racist. And eventually, people start to see it and to hear it. And of course, you have groups like Kick It Out, which are charities, which depend, of course, for their existence. They depend on racism being a real thing. Even though racism in 2020 is not a real thing in UK society. It's never been a better time to be a minority. Minorities are overrepresented in every facet, in every aspect of our lives, public lives, in academia, in television, in radio, in film. It's a great time to be black or to be from the Middle East, second or third generation. Nobody's out to get you. There isn't an influx or an increase of far-right racist thugs. We've got the same amount of far-right racist thugs that we always fucking had. And they generally keep themselves to themselves. So calm down. Calm down. Let's dispense with the identity politics. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. But also, this made me giggle. I saw this last night. Too late to talk about it on the radio show. Had to laugh at this. I love a bit of this. Say whatever you want, but don't talk about the Rothschilds, goddammit. Tom Pope is a striker. He's a striker. For Port Vale Football Club. Port Vale. He's wearing their away top there. Because if my memory serves me, Port Vale play in green, don't they? Is it green and white? Is it? I'm a bit of a football buff. Port Vale. And for some strange reason, voice must ascend several octaves in credulity. Because I can't understand. He was asked on Twitter, a striker for Port Vale, I might have more chance of being recognised in Port Vale than Tom Pope. And I wouldn't be recognised in Port Vale. He was asked on Twitter to predict the outcome in a World War III scenario. And he said, the Rothschilds are crowned champions of every bank on the planet. The end. They came out in force on Twitter to declare him to be anti-Semitic, to be racist, because apparently talking about the malign influence of the Rothschild banking family or Rothschild Inc., well, talking about that, well, it's anti-Semitic, apparently. So he deleted the tweet and he apologised from the bottom of his heart. Fucking hell. Yeah. The Rothschilds are crowned champions of every bank on the planet. The end. There wouldn't be any banks left after World War III. Anyway, I wish these fuckers wouldn't apologise. You know, I'm the only person... You know, I've never been one to big myself up. I never have. I never thought that in 2019... I would trend on Twitter, because Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Google, they go out of their way to marginalise not just myself, obviously, it's not about me, but the independent media in general. But I trended for 2 whole days on Twitter back in July last year, because when I was asked a provocative question about the Holocaust by a Jewish woman, I said, and I quote, I'm sick to fucking death of hearing about it. Which I am. And there's a film in the cinema at the moment now. It's about the Holocaust and about a young boy. And I'm fucking sick of it. I really am. But anyway, what was interesting was what happened in those 2-3 days. And I stood by what I said because I've got very thick skin and I'm not scared of anybody. And eventually these people go away. When you keep attacking them as I did, they just go away. But sadly, I've proven to be the exception to the rule. What happens is they can't get to a keyboard quick enough to apologise when somebody calls them anti-Semitic. How wretchedly cowardly. If you said it, you must mean it. If you mean it, stand over it, or at least explain what it is you mean by the Rothschilds taking over every central bank on the planet. They're not quite there yet, the Rothschilds. Right. Cowards! To apologise. Terrible. Stand up for yourself. Fuck it. Even if you are bigoted. Even if you do blame the Jews for whatever. Right, if you're one of those people. Fucking stand over it. Don't run away. I found it interesting anyway. But this is of course going to be a big thing in 2020. This is going to be a big thing. Giles Corran writes for The Times magazine. He writes for The Times. Not just for the Times magazine. He writes for The Times. And I've got a little story for you. Have I? Don't tell me now I've not. I've done it again. You'll have to bear with me just a second. I've got to just grab an image. I didn't. Right. Just got to grab an image for you there. It'll only be a second. I'm doing it as I speak. Corran 1, we'll call that image. Yeah. Let's get Corran 2. Some of you will know this, but Giles Corran has left Twitter over allegations of homophobia because he had a go at Owen Jones. Dreadful little virtue signaller Owen Jones calls himself a socialist, writes for The Guardian. And I found it interesting. Again, it goes back to people not standing up to it. Are you aware of this story? I wasn't aware of it until today, until I saw Giles Corran's until I saw his opinion piece in today's Times. Today. Here's his opinion piece in today's Times. He takes on three issues. But one of them is beyond a joke. This is where he talks about having why he felt he had to leave Twitter. He had to leave Twitter, right? Right. Okay. Yesterday morning, meaning Monday, after 11 mostly unhappy and pointless years, I left Twitter. It's no biggie, nor is it because of something that has happened on there, but rather something that happened in the real world. 2019 turned into 2020. The trending topic was not hashtag New Year's Eve or even hashtag Stormzy Hootenanny, but it was hashtag Giles Corran. Because a piece in The Times carried a quote from me about a Labour activist and Guardian writer called Owen Jones, whom I didn't know was gay. You can't claim to be much of a journalist if you didn't know that Owen Jones was gay. Owen Jones has been in the news because he went public after he was assaulted outside a venue in London, claiming that it was a homophobic assault, that he was targeted because he was gay, not because he's an arsehole, which he is. He's also gay. And Jones is never not on Sky News talking about LGBT issues. He is dreadful, creepy little bastard, Owen Jones. So it's hard for me to believe that Corran didn't know that Jones is gay. But anyway, Corran says he didn't. And Jones declared Corran's tweet to be homophobic. And because Jones has a million followers, they agreed with him and they piled on. I guess that's what Twitter is for, says Corran, piling on. By the end of the following day, I had been replaced by hashtag WW3 because of the Iranian general being assassinated. But he says what happened then was, and this is what happened to me. People had been tweeting saying they found his address and urging people to go around. And in fact, a group of people went around to his house while Corin was away and started haranguing his wife and his children. That's when it gets serious. Now, I didn't have anybody coming around to my house, but Zionist apologists did put my address on Twitter, did put my fiancé's name on Twitter and the name of her employer. They'll never do it again as long as they live, by the way. Believe me when I tell you that. But nobody ever came around to my house. It's getting serious. I mean, you're going to see a lot of this in 2020, 2021 and beyond. You're going to see a lot of it. You're going to see a lot of people being threatened, being cancelled, being deplatformed, being harassed, being stalked, being fired from their jobs because of their opinions. Corin says he didn't know that Jones was gay. I would find it very hard to believe that. What did he tweet out that was homophobic? Well, he tweeted out, "My prediction for the next year is Owen Jones getting a peerage in Corbyn's resignation honours. Does he get a go at that? And becoming a fat old lord, getting smashed on Madeira in the morning and chasing young researchers with tight bottoms up and down the corridors all afternoon." Is it homophobic? I wouldn't imagine so. I wouldn't consider it to be homophobic. But it ended up with people coming around to his house. Now, Owen Jones didn't ask anybody or advise anybody to go around to Corin's house. Jones can't be held in any way responsible for those who went around to Corin's house. But this is where we're going, right? I'm telling you, and I'm telling you until I'm blue in the face, you need to manage your social media accounts, particularly if you find yourself out of work and you are hoping to secure employment somewhere else. You really need to think about it. Although that being said, if you go for an interview these days and you've got no social media presence, apparently, and I've been told this by a recruiter, that in itself is a red flag. This is dystopian shit. This is what Orwell, this is Huxley, this is where we are. It's getting to the stage where you must have a Twitter account or a Facebook, and you must have them, and you must regularly update them, and you must tell us what you think on all, or any manner of issues. You must signal where you are. Binary choice. Binary choice. Are you for gay marriage or are you not for gay marriage? Are you for or are you against gay adoption? Well, it's a nuanced issue. No, it isn't. It isn't. Yes or no. And if they can't find these things on your social media accounts, well, there's something wrong with you. That's where we're going, you see. That's where it's meant to go. It's spooky in the extreme. But again, learned men and women that I've known over the years, going back to the 1990s, to the early 2000s, predicted this scenario. You must have one of these accounts. Look at Black Mirror. Look at that episode, the one dealing with Facebook or a similar platform where everybody rates everybody. This is where we're going. Nothing is black and white. Everything is one mass of swirling shades of grey. But this is where you are in 2020. Yeah, people turned up to his house. I don't believe for a minute that Corin didn't know that Jones was gay. But I also don't think to suggest that Jones is chasing people around with tight bottoms is homophobic. Right? You could say that he's actually suggesting that Jones is a randy, frisky little muppet. That's all. He's not homophobic. He's not saying that it's disgusting or perverse to be looking at tight bottoms. Good Jesus Christ, I've stared at many a tight bottom in my lifetime. Fucking hell, right? And we're going to finish today with this. Hi to Graham Booth, by the way. Triggerwarning.tv. How you doing, Graham? Where are we here? Where are we? Where are we? There's so much more I didn't get into. This is making the news today. It's everywhere this morning. And it concerns the UK citizen, the UK woman, young woman, who was convicted about lying of being about being gang raped in Cyprus. And she received a suspended sentence this morning. It had been alleged that if she had been sent to prison, she would have received an immediate presidential pardon, meaning she wouldn't have spent any time in jail. So she's on her way home. This is an interesting story, this. Partly because of the way it's been covered in the independent media. The independent media, many independent media content creators initially last year jumped to the conclusion that Israel had intervened on behalf of these 12 men and had put pressure on Cyprus, on the Cypriot authorities. And they made these claims without any kind of hard evidence, as usual, to support it. You know, this idea that the Israeli government got involved. I'm not sure that the Israeli government got involved at all. I'll tell you why on this. Now, she's going to appeal against the ruling. She said in court last month that she was raped by these 12 guys. She had a sexual relationship with one of them. But then he got her into a room. Then these guys piled in. She was pinned down and she was attacked. That's what she claimed. It happened back in July in Ayia Napa in Cyprus. She said that she made these claims and then she seemingly retracted them. But she claimed that the Cypriot police had put terrible pressure on her to change the statement, to say that she'd made it up. So because of that, she was charged with public mischief. There was a court case last month and she was found guilty of public mischief. But the Mail on Sunday, more than any other newspaper, has done some terrific work on this. Because last Sunday, it published swathes of the transcript of the trial, which highlighted very worrying behaviour by the judge who heard the case. His behaviour, when you look at the transcript in black and white, was fairly appalling, right? We could say, to say the least, dreadful, right? Because of what he wouldn't allow said in the court, because of the evidence he dismissed, because of the way he treated this young woman. A psychologist gave evidence that she was suffering from PTSD, and a linguistic expert said that her statement had been written by someone with English as a second language. She didn't write the statement. So they introduced a forensic pathologist, a guy called Marios Matsakis. He said 35 bruises and cuts on her body were consistent, wholly consistent with somebody who had been assaulted and raped. But the judge, this guy called Michaelis Papathanasou, that's right, dismissed all this testimony and dismissed her experts and regularly chastised her in the court. He told the court, the judge did it, she was an unreliable witness. And I suppose the anti-Israel brigade, well, I'm part of the anti-Israel brigade, let's be fucking honest about it, I have no time for Israel. But I suppose the anti-Jewish brigade said that this happened to this young woman probably because of the malign influence of the Israeli government. And it is fairly fucking malign. But I don't think the Israelis had anything to do with it. I think, having looked at this for about 5 or 6 days, and I haven't said a word on it, I think there are two things at play here. One, I think somebody wanted to preserve the image of Ayia Napa as being a wonderful place for young men and women to go and get pissed out of their brains every night of the week. Fuck like rabbits. Back to the airport, back home. What happens in Ayia Napa stays in Ayia Napa. That's the image of Ayia Napa the Cypriots want I suppose that's the understanding of Ayanapa that they would like people to have. Party town. People getting gang raped by a group of pissed men doesn't sit well with that image. And I think that had something to do with it. I'm not saying that there was no pressure from Israel. I just don't have any proof of it. But I've heard this said, and I've got a couple of friends in Cyprus. And then I saw this, which is important as well. The judge has previous... It's not the first time that the judge has treated a woman who has claimed that she was raped, that he's treated her unspeakably badly, inexplicably badly. This fucker, this guy here, Michaelis Papathanasou, fucking idiot. He looks like an idiot, doesn't he? Women have claimed in the past, feminists, that this guy is previous in terms of handling cases where rape has been claimed, that he has a strong dislike of women, and that he has thrown out rape cases in the past, despite there being very strong evidence that a rape has taken place. The guy's a fucking idiot, apparently. And again, the Daily Mail, for all the problems of the Mail, it's done some excellent work on this case. So don't be so quick to assume that the Israelis, you know, put some pressure diplomatically on the Cypriot authorities to get these guys off just because they're Israeli. You know, you're not more likely to be a rapist if you were born in Israel than if you were born in fucking Azerbaijan or in Macroom in County Cork. So it's a dreadful thing. Reading the transcript on Sunday, do I believe that she was gang raped? Yes. But she wasn't gang raped because they were Israelis. She was gang raped because there is a culture. There is a developing culture amongst young men. Violent porn has a lot to do with it. Cocaine has a lot to do with it. I could be here all day. You've heard me talk about this on the radio show before with experts. It's not an Israeli thing. But anyway, she's going to be home today. Her lawyers are saying that they're going to go as far as they fucking can to get her conviction for public mischief overturned. And good luck to her, because I believe she was raped. Yeah, but she wasn't raped because they were Israelis. And I'm not sure that the behaviour of the judge can be determined, or it can be determined, that he has been influenced by the State of Israel. Because as I said, there's a lot of evidence in the public domain that this guy is just a rotten bastard. Judges, people. Judges. I was at a hearing in a court in Lismore in County Waterford many years ago. I shit you not. When I worked for WLRFM in Ireland, I was at a court hearing. And a guy from a well-to-do family had been found guilty of having sex with a girl where there was no consent. It had been proven in the proceedings that the girl had repeatedly said no. But he was a rugby playing guy from a very well-to-do family. And in the summing up, I swear to God and Sonny Jesus, rather than send the little bastard to prison for a couple of years or more, the judge gave him a suspended sentence, saying, and I paraphrase here, but he essentially said, this guy comes from a good family and he's got good prospects. He's made a mistake and he hasn't ruined her life. So we shouldn't ruin his life by throwing him into jail, something that will have profound consequences for his future employment and education prospects. Judges are Cupid stunts. And this guy in Cyprus is a Cupid stunt. He should be fucking struck off the bench. He should be fucking sweeping, cleaning toilets for the next 5 years by way of penance. But that's what you've got there. I don't think you've got, you know, the Zionist State of Israel ensuring that these 12 young kids got away with it. Don't forget that the most vocal protesters outside the court in Cyprus, and even outside the Cypriot embassy here in London, were Jews. Israelis travelled from Israel to protest, saying that these guys are a shower of bastards, that the woman is telling the truth. And you had the same in London. So don't be so quick to jump on the old, it's always the Jews kind of a thing. Because it's not always the fucking Jews. Right, I've loads more to tell you. I took loads of stuff down today, but this has just rambled on too much. So I'm gone. Today, Spiros Skouras, live from the east coast of the United States. And in the second hour, it's a long lost return. It's a return after about 10 months to the show from our friend Max Egan, who'll talk bushfires and more on the Richie Allen radio show today at 5 o'clock UK time. Until then, it's adios, sayonara from yours truly. Have a good Tuesday. See you later. Bye now.